Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, coming to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park, and producer Nate Vaughn has returned. He is back producing this episode of the Wobcast, fresh off of his vacation down south in Florida. Welcome back, Nate.
Thank you. Thank you for the welcome back. I'm feeling refreshed. I have a nice bronze layer.
Yeah, you worked on your tan.
I'm ready for summer to start now here.
Okay, what did you do? Did you lay on the beach? Did you read?
A lot of beach laying.
Okay, like that's good.
2 whole days on the beach, like 9 in the morning till sunset.
All right. Now, my problem, and my wife hates this, but my problem when I'm on vacation is I feel disconnected, and then like I'm either missing out on stuff and I'll never know it, or when I get back, I have to catch up on stuff. Do you find yourself in that paradigm when you go on vacation?
I think I did it right. I didn't go cold turkey and like throw my phone in my bag and say I'm not looking at this the whole time. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
But I did like leave it like in my bedroom, like when we were out and about doing stuff. I didn't really take it with me to the beach, but I mean, I had to stay up to date. I had to check a few emails, stay up to date on who we signed in free agency, you know.
Listen to the Wobcast from last week.
Right. Yep.
Right. Okay. Yep, we ripped you.
Yeah. I was gonna, you know, take the higher ground and
not bring it
past
up.
That, but
that's how you know you're loved in the VEN though, is if you get ripped when you're gone. If we don't talk about you at all when you're gone, that's when you should start to worry.
Start to sweat a little bit.
All right. Okay, let's get right to it. We have a full show, and we're gonna start with birthday wishes to one of our favorite players, running back Adrian Peterson. Everyone, he turned 31. On Monday, March 21st. So happy birthday to Adrian Peterson. I went through and did the math, Nate. Adrian was 22 years old when we drafted him in 2007. He was 24 when the Vikings went to the 2009 NFC title game. He was 27 when he won the NFL MVP following the 2012 season. He was 30 when he won the NFL's rushing title last season. And right now, he is 31. He is he's chasing a little bit of rarefied air when it comes to running backs, Nate. He's coming off a 1,400-yard season when he was 30, which doesn't happen very much. Now, 1,000-yard seasons for running backs who have crossed the 30-year-old threshold does not happen very often. In fact, only 12 running backs who are age 31 exactly have run for 1,000 yards in the season. So Adrian looking to be just the 13th running back in NFL history to rush for 1,000 yards in a season at the age of 31. That number goes from 12 to 6 at the age of 32, and that number goes from 6 to 2 at the age of 33.
So, who are those two? Do you know?
I wish I could remember. I feel like one was Walter Payton. And I don't know if Curtis Martin did it at age 33, but at 32, Curtis Martin might be one of the 6 because he led the league in rushing in 2004 and was one of the oldest players to lead the league in rushing. So, and Curtis Martin is what? A Hall of Famer. So Adrian definitely already in rarefied air and chasing even more of it this season. I think he's proven that if anyone, is someone that the rules of age and time don't apply to them. I think it's Adrian Peterson. He's proven that time and again, and he's going to look to do the same in 2016. So happy birthday to Adrian Peterson. And birthdays and pro athletes, it's kind of a weird thing because, like, your birthday is something you celebrate, generally speaking. But, you know, we don't want our athletes to get older, right? Like, because the older you get, the less good you become and the closer you are to retirement. So a birthday is a thing to celebrate, except if it's one of your favorite pro athletes, right?
Yeah, but like you said earlier, Adrian's kind of, at least to this point, kind of proved that wrong.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Well, happy birthday to our man, Adrian
Peterson.
Can't stop
it. Can't stop time. Can't stop Adrian.
And you can't stop Adrian either, and that's what we love about him. That's one of the things we love about him. So, on behalf of Vikings fans across the nation and the world, and on behalf of everyone here at the Wobcast, Adrian Peterson, because we know you listen to the Wobcast, happy birthday, Adrian Peterson, 31 years young as of Monday, March 21st. Okay, Vikings news. Since the last time we spoke, Vikings fans, your team has conducted some business. The Vikings have re-signed defensive end Justin Tratto. They've re-signed cornerback Terrence Newman, and they've re-signed running back Matt Asiata. Now, The one note I have on Tratto, Nate, he's got a really cool stat. I've told you this one.
Yeah, okay. But I like it.
More interceptions for Justin Tratto last season than tackles.
It's mind-blowing.
That's awesome for a defensive end.
Yeah, especially a defensive end.
Yeah. Big-time contributor for the Vikings on special teams, rotational player on defense. Happened to get two interceptions last season, which is why he has that quirky stat. But happy to have Justin Tratto back. Of course, we're happy to have Terrence Newman back, who started every game, including one at safety. And then Matt Asiata kind of seals the deal for the Vikings at the running back position. Very strong group of running backs for the Vikings with Adrian, Jerick McKinnon, Matt Asiata. You throw Zach Lyon into that group as well. The Vikings are very stout at running back, and Matt Asiata is a big part of that, so we're glad that he's back. Free agents that the Vikings haven't re-signed, Nate. We hear Rick Spielman and even Mike Zimmer to some extent, but especially Rick Spielman say all the time, well, you know, we'd like to have all of our players back, you know, and I know that comes off as, just GM speak and the politically correct thing to say, but Rick backs it up. The Vikings had 14 players scheduled to become free agents, and they've re-signed most of them. The ones they have not re-signed, Robert Blanton, Casey Matthews, whom you didn't expect the team to re-sign. He never suited up for the Vikings. Josh Robinson, who signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jason Trusnik, a linebacker the team picked up in the middle of the year, I believe. And then, of course, Chad Greenwayne. And we know that the team is interested in bringing Chad back. It's just a matter of it happening or not happening. And that it hasn't happened yet is not a cause for concern. Deadlines spur action. There's been no deadline for that. But so not very many players that the Vikings haven't re-signed. So Rick Spielman staying true to his word and re-signing a bunch of those Vikings who were scheduled to be free agents or who hit the market, but the Vikings retained them. So that's good news. New players signed since the last time we spoke. The big name is Andre Smith, the right tackle, who began his career with the Cincinnati Bengals as a top 10 pick and played very well for the Bengals. The Bengals made the playoffs every year of Andre Smith's career there, so that's an impressive feat, and Andre a big part of that along the offensive line. He played right tackle for the Bengals, and I would presume that's where the Vikings will pencil him in their lineup, and he'll compete with TJ Clemmings and Phil Loadholt for time at right tackle. So a nice addition there for the Vikings, joining Alex Boone as two new offensive linemen to the team via free agency, both of whom could end up starting a lot of games for the Vikings. And then also tight end Brian Lenhart, a Minnesota native of the Vikings, bring him aboard. He's got some familiarity with Vikings offensive line coach Tony Sperano, who was the Niners tight ends coach. And Lenhart and Sperano spent time together with the San Francisco 49ers. So all of those moves we just mentioned, Nate, and then the ones that that we've mentioned in previous Wobcasts, lead me to three general takes. Ready for some hot takes?
I'm ready for some takes. What's right. Number one?
Number one, already a top 10 defense retains all key pieces, assuming Chad Greenway comes back, plus adds a starter to the mix in safety Michael Griffin. So I think that's good news for the Vikings that they've done that to the defense, and they haven't even fortified it yet with the draft. And as you and I know from being at the Combine, this is a draft that is chock full of really good defensive players. So it looks like the Vikings' defense is in good shape.
Should be noted when you say starter in Griffin,
yeah,
has started before. Obviously, yes. No one's guaranteed a starting spot.
That's
yet.
A good point, because we're not going to count Andrew Sendejo out, whom the team re-signed this year.
And I'm getting pretty good at that coach speak.
Yeah, you are. You're very good at
that. Everybody's got to earn their spot.
And listen, we're going to make Michael Griffin earn it, most certainly. I'm sure Mike Zimmer's going to do that. And I wouldn't count Andrew Sendejo out of that. He started a bunch of games for the Vikings last season, and we won 11 games and had a top 10 defense. So Sendejo a part of that, and he'll compete for the starting job. But the Vikings defense in very good shape.
Take number two.
All right, take number two. The offensive line gets two upgrades, is getting healthier, which means a lot of competition has been added to that group. And that's a good thing. A good run blocking group a year ago, but missing two starters before the season even began, and as Mike Zimmer has admitted, gave up too much quarterback pressure throughout the season. And I think the team has done a great job of recognizing that and then trying to fix it this offseason. And again, we haven't even had the draft yet, so they could do that once again in the draft, add more talent to that position.
But let's count it up. You have Matt Khalil.
Yes.
Starter. Has mm-hmm. been a starter his whole career. At left guard, who do you think? Alex Boone?
Should be, yep. That's probably where he started for San Francisco
last
season. Starter,
all-pro player.
Yep.
Center, you have, if everybody's healthy, you have two guys now that you feel comfortable with, and Sully and Joe Berger.
Yep.
Right guard. The right side is where things get really interesting because you have a lot of names in there. What do you see kind of in right guard and right tackle?
You re-sign Mike Harris, who started every game at right guard, and you bring back TJ Clemmings, who is a rookie who started every game at right tackle. So the starters return. But now that you have Boone solidified as your left guard, one would presume, that could move Fusco back to the right side where he began his career with you, and he could compete with Mike Harris for time at right guard. Also, if Joe Berger does not beat John Sullivan for the starting center job, I think Joe Berger is a candidate to start at right guard. So you have a three-man race, perhaps, for right guard with Mike Harris, last year's starter, with Brandon Fusco, the starter before last year at right guard, and then perhaps Joe Berger. At right tackle, you have TJ Clemmings as the returning starter, but Phil Loholt, who was the starter before you drafted Clemmings, coming
back from
injury. Yeah, oh yeah, that one second-round pick from 2009 who starts like every game that he's healthy and plays really well. And has blocked for Adrian Peterson for a bunch of years. And then you sign Andre Smith. And I will also put Mike Harris into this mix. Whereas I said if Joe Berger doesn't win the starting center job, he competes for a spot at right guard. I think if Mike Harris doesn't win the right guard job, he's a candidate to start also at right tackle. So I think it's a situation where the Vikings have just added a lot of competition. And have they solved any problems? I guess you don't really find that out until you play games. But they've certainly added bodies, and they've certainly tried to solve any problems or issues or inconsistencies that they've wanted to solve. Good job by the front office and the coaching staff of working together to correct some of those issues.
Now what about take number three?
The special teams has been supercharged by the Vikings free agency activity. You re-sign Red Ellison, plays a bunch of phases for you.
We talked about that during the season.
Yeah. Re-signed Marcus Sherrills, who is not only your punt returner but plays on the kickoff team, is a backup kickoff returner, and plays on the punt team as a gunner. So that's a big deal. Tratto, you re-sign him. That's a big deal. And if Michael Griffin does end up starting for you, that makes Andrew Sendejo a core special teams player for you who can play in four phases, which is a big deal. So to me, the Vikings, whether directly trying to or it happening indirectly, have bolstered their special teams efforts in a lot of different phases of special teams with what they've done in free agency. And that includes moves like signing Michael Griffin, re-signing Andrew Sendejo, re-signing Matt Asiata and Marcus Sherrills. All of those moves are going to end up helping the Vikings special teams.
Well, you know, Wabi, I could have just stayed down in Florida probably.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
Just met the guys up at the NFL meetings in Boca Raton.
Our correspondent there.
That's right.
You could be on the phone right now, and we could be doing the Wobcast via the phone with you down in sunny Boca Raton playing golf with Jeff Fisher and Mike Zimmer. I'm sure they're getting along, you know, and like talking rules changes with the coaches. And
is Boca Raton along a coast?
Yeah, it's on the Atlantic coast.
Oh, yeah. So I was right.
I think it's the southernmost city in Palm Beach County.
Oh, wow.
So there's your Florida geography lesson for you.
Florida's a really long state. Did you know that?
Yeah, it is. Not wide, but very long.
Yeah, very long.
We're not there.
Just a little trivia for you.
Right.
Very long state.
We're not there. We wish we were.
But you know who is?
Everyone who is anyone in the NFL.
Everyone else, yeah.
Dang it. not us. And one of the things they're doing there? Talking about the playing rules. Changing them. Amending them. Ratifying some of the changes that have been proposed. I don't know if you've seen the list or not, Nate, but I have the list right here, and I think we should talk about some of them. Now, it's kind of awkward right now because as we're recording this, they've already passed some, and then they're going to vote on others tomorrow.
It's a long list.
Okay, yeah. So the ones that have passed, right now I'll tell you this, the ones that have passed. Permanently moving the line of scrimmage for the extra point to the defensive team's 15-yard line. So basically making permanent the change that was experimented with last year, the longer PATs, that has been ratified as a permanent change for the league. So going forward until it's changed again, we will have those 33-yard PATs. Your thoughts on that, Nate?
Obviously, it probably turned out how the NFL kind of hoped it would.
Yeah.
Bring a little more suspense to the extra points.
Making a non-competitive play more competitive. So
And a lot of people were saying you would see a lot more two-point conversion attempts. I don't know if that was really the case very much throughout the season.
I don't have the stats in front of me, but I don't remember that being a huge difference.
Well, I'm sure that there were more, but I think the more profound change to the game was just the added drama of the extra point in a tight spot where, you know, it, you missed it and now you have to go for two later in the game or it cost you the game at the end. You know, I think that was the more profound change and result.
You look at the game against St. Louis here.
That's right. Exactly. The Rams chose to go for two early in the game because of the long extra point and it was a windy day. Yeah, that's exactly right.
We ended up winning that game.
We did win that game. In the fifth period, which is also referred to as overtime. The second rule that passed permits the offensive and defensive play caller on the coaching staffs to use the coach-to-player communication system regardless of whether they are on the field or in the coach's booth. So previously, if you were in the booth, you could not talk directly to your quarterback if you were the offensive play caller. You had to relay the play call to a coach on the field who then would relay it to the quarterback, and same with the defensive play caller to whichever player in the field was your play caller on defense, usually a linebacker. Now, that communication can come straight from the booth. I think it's a good change. I also think it will reduce the number of delay of game penalties because you are eliminating one step for the offensive
play
caller.
Cut out the middleman.
Right, you're literally cutting out the middleman. The third, all chop blocks are now illegal. So offensive linemen will lament, defensive linemen will celebrate. That all chop blocks are now illegal.
You had to kind of describe this to me a little bit before we started recording.
Yeah.
So what is going to be different now?
Well,
with that rule?
No longer will you see defensive linemen pursuing a play and an offensive lineman dives at their legs to take their legs out from them when they're not, whether they're looking or not looking. I mean, they cannot engage in that block anymore. It's a player safety issue. In all of these rule proposals, and I printed out the official guide to the rules.
Yeah, I think we ran out of paper.
Yeah, it was like a 52-page thing. I know. So if you go, I have it sitting out. If you go and look at it, it lists the proposed change, what the previous rule was, what the new language would be, and the reasoning for that rule being proposed. Because teams can propose these rule changes. And then the competition committee can propose a rule change, but there has to be a reason for it. And the one listed next to the chop blocks is player safety. We're going to have Ross Tucker on the Wobcast next week, and he's going to explain the difference between the chop block and the cut block, because I think that's going to cause some confusion for fans and for analysts next year. And then he's just going to kind of break down the history of the chop block and how it's gradually been eliminated from the game. I'm sure he's going to have some opinions on that, but that's for later. For now, let me tell you about very quickly the four other rules that have already passed. Expanding the horse collar rule to include when a defender grabs the jersey at the nameplate or above and pulls a runner toward the ground. Making it a foul for delay of game when a team attempts to call a timeout when it is not permitted to do so. Eliminating the 5-yard penalty for an eligible receiver illegally touching a forward pass after being out of bounds and reestablishing himself in bounds. Now, instead of it being a 5-yard penalty, that is now a loss of down. And then eliminating multiple spots of enforcement for a double foul after a change of possession. So that's a lot of words. I think the most profound one, though, that we just talked about is permanently making it a long PAT, but then the coach-to-player communication change. Is a big time change that's going to help a lot of offenses. All chop blocks being illegal is a big time change that's going to affect the way the game is played.
Did you see the new belts for the?
I did.
For the systems that the coaches use.
I would love to have seen Coach Zimmer's face the second he was like, "This is what I have to wear."
Because there's like three different huge pack things
right
around a belt. Like you have to really tighten it.
It's a utility belt. That would make Batman blush. That's what it is.
If Zimmer wasn't in shape already, walking up and down the sidelines with that thing on is gonna get him right in shape.
Well, he's in tremendous shape, Nate.
That's true.
Okay, and I mean he's walking around his ranch all the time, checking on the progress of
it. True.
I mean,
a lot of ground to cover out there.
And he hunts with Bud Grant all the time. Speaking of covering a lot of ground, so he's in good shape. Now, as we speak, they're probably lobbying for these, and then tomorrow at this time they'll be voting yes or no on these. A few of the other proposals that are being bandied about in Boca Raton, Florida right now. The idea that has been proposed by the competition committee of disqualifying a player who is penalized twice in one game for certain types of unsportsmanlike fouls. Those types of unsportsmanlike fouls are throwing a punch or a forearm or kicking at an opponent even though no contact is made. Using abusive, threatening, or insulting language or gestures to opponents, teammates, officials, or representatives of the league. Using baiting or taunting acts or words that engender ill will between teams. If you are guilty of any combination of two of those infractions in the same game, you are disqualified from the game. This does not supersede the game official's discretion to judge a foul to be flagrant enough to disqualify the player otherwise. So you can have normal ejections that we've always had, or you can be ejected for committing two of those different infractions that I listed before. That has not been passed yet, but it's something that they're going to talk about and vote on at the league meetings.
It's like in college basketball, March Madness, when coaches get two technicals, they're out of the game.
See you later. Another one that they're talking about, and one that I would vote against, quite frankly, is changing the spot of the next snap after a touchback of a free kick, which includes kickoffs, to the 25-yard line. Don't like it.
Why not? Why don't we like it?
I think they're trying to reduce the number of kickoff returns in the NFL, and I think the kickoff return is a very exciting play, and I'm not convinced that...
Especially if you're a Vikings fan.
Yeah, because we have one of the best ones in the league. I'm not convinced that there are more injuries on kickoffs than on the average play, and I'm not convinced that if there are, it's because the nature of the play. I think if players follow the technique they're taught, they won't get injured at a higher rate on kickoffs than they do on any other play. So I don't necessarily like it. I think what they're trying to do is encourage returners to take a knee if they catch the ball in the end zone, because now you get the ball at the 25 instead of the 20. So that's one that they're going to discuss. And then another one that's interesting that has to do with the replay system, the challenges. And it's been reported that the Vikings are one of the teams who've proposed this rule. Eliminating the requirement that a team be successful on each of its first two replay challenges in order to be awarded a third challenge. So if this was passed, all you have to do is get one of your first two right to be granted a third. I think that would be kind of cool.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, me too. I don't think it slows the game down that much, and I'm okay with slowing the game down as an expense if it means you're getting a pivotal call corrected. I'm all for that. I think there's another proposal in there where we just are giving teams three, and there are a few others that have to do with the replay system. But that one that's been proposed by the Vikings, I think, is interesting, and I think would be great to get that extra challenge if you get one of your first two right. So that's a lot, Nate. But to review, we now have long extra points as a permanent part of the league. Norv can now talk directly to Teddy from the booth if he chooses to be the offensive coordinator from the booth. All chop blocks are illegal, a bunch of other house cleaning items, and then there are still some more proposals that are going to be discussed this week. The final day of the league meetings is actually tomorrow, which is Wednesday, and they may table some of these proposals until their next set of meetings as well. But if you want more details on all that, go to Vikings.com and check out some of the written articles that we have, because those articles detail some of the proposals. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. And that is, Nate, as you have stated, is it time to brush up on our Mandarin?
Or learn it at all, because I would be in that category. Yeah, I just right. I don't know it.
You can't brush up on it if you don't already have it.
Right.
So, yeah. I am not fluent in Mandarin. I'm not even choppy in Mandarin. I know nothing about Mandarin.
I'm not that good at English.
Right.
To be honest with
right.
You.
But the reason we're talking about this is there are reports that the NFL is considering expanding its international series to Germany as soon as 2017 and China as soon as 2018. Of course, the international series has already been in London. The Vikings played a game as part of the international series against the Pittsburgh Steelers in London in 2013. No plans to do so in the future for the Vikings, although they could. Not as the home team, as the road team. The Vikings cannot be a host of an international series game because of the stadium agreement they have now with US Bank Stadium, but they could be the road team. But There are going to be games in London and Mexico City this year, and there could be games in Germany as soon as 2017 and China as soon as 2018. That also coming from the annual league meetings in Boca Raton, Florida this week. Interesting fodder to think about, and something that I think is kind of cool that the league does is try and tap into the global fan base, because there is certainly demand there. We saw that firsthand when we went to London in 2013 to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, let's talk about the draft, Nate.
Okay.
That's the next really substantial event on the NFL calendar.
Just over a month away.
Yeah. And so, yeah, five weeks away.
Yeah. It's basically here.
So what Nate and I are thinking is we're going to update some mock drafts. Of course, as all of you listeners know, because you read Vikings.com on a regular basis, we have a series called Mock Madness. It's an article series that we do where we update mock drafts periodically during the pre-draft process. And we'll have another one of those coming up soon, but we're going to kind of go over one orally for you right now. Let's start with the ESPN bros, who we have a bone to pick with them.
I mean, they're a little bit behind. Not behind, but...
March 2nd.
March 2nd from Mel Kiper.
No, McShay.
McShay. Kiper's not much better. March 8th.
March 8th. I mean, come on, guys. Seriously.
What's the date today?
Why the hell? March 22nd. We know they have opinions, and we would just like to hear them. That's the deal. So here's the deal. The good news is they updated it after the Combine, which was at the end of February, because these are in early March. But they have not updated them since the launch of and the execution of most of the big-time free agent signings. So you would think there's a chance that their opinions would change based on that.
Don't they know, as fans, we need fake information? We need what right. they think might happen.
Right. We need speculative information
for us to talk about constantly. For the next month.
All right. So McShay on March 2nd mocked safety Von Bell out of Ohio State to your Minnesota Vikings. Kiper countered on March 8th with wide receiver Josh Doctson out of TCU. Now, my guess is Mel Kiper may not change his projection, because the Vikings released Mike Wallace and did not sign a receiver in free agency. So his projection of Doctson to the Vikings may stay the same. Certainly the position could stay the same. However, Todd McShay may choose to change his, because the Vikings re-signed Sendejo and signed Michael Griffin, two safeties, to the roster. And so he may go a different direction than Von Bell, who plays safety and who comes from Ohio State. Now, two more recent mock drafts, though, come from NFL media. Bucky Brooks on March 16th mocks outside linebacker Leonard Floyd out of Georgia to the Vikings, and Daniel Jeremiah on March 14th mocked wide receiver Josh Doctson to the Vikings. So two Josh Doctson mocks to your Minnesota Vikings, Nate Vaughn. Josh Doctson, certainly a guy that has impressed people. He impressed at the Combine. The numbers are amazing and a selection that a lot of fans would like. And then the other two, Von Bell and Leonard Floyd, are defenders that people may not be that familiar with yet, but that doesn't mean they won't be when the draft comes around at the end of April. And some interesting ideas there from those four that we've mocked, and surely more ideas to come in the future. And free agency changes what people think a team's going to do in the draft. I think that you're going to continue to see a lot of wide receivers mocked to the Vikings once we start looking more at these mock drafts, don't you?
Yeah, and it seems like almost every year there's a receiver mocked to the Vikings. I don't know if that speaks badly about the Vikings or if it just seems like a convenient place for receivers to go.
Well, I think that they are easy slash
fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Sorry, I stepped on your touchdown call there.
No, well, you did, but you got the right call. I think that's the answer. And you know what? I mean, the most important position in all of sports is quarterback, and if you take a talented receiver, that helps your quarterback. So when you're helping the most important position on your team, I think everyone is in favor of that. And, you know, Mike Mayock said at the Combine he can't see more than one or two receivers going in the first round of this draft. So if one or two go before the Vikings pick at 23, wide receiver might not be the pick after all. And you might have to wait until the second or third round to get one. Or the Vikings may wind up with Laquon Treadwell or Josh Doctson or Will Fuller or Michael Thomas or someone else at receiver at 23. So time will tell on that. 5 weeks from now will be 24 hours from the answer, and it will be a lot of fun. Speaking of answers, Nate, you have some fan questions, and we can provide some answers to those fans. What do you got?
We do have some fan questions to go over.
Okay.
The first one deals with the interior offensive line.
Okay.
You got your mindset right?
Here we go.
Okay.
Going through my Rolodex.
Think the trenches. With Berger and Sullivan both getting up there in age, and this being a deep center draft, do you think the Vikings would consider taking a center as early as the third round? This question's from Pat from Winnipeg.
Okay, Pat from Winnipeg. Yeah, I think the Vikings would consider that because I do truly think the Vikings are a disciplined team when it comes to taking the best available player on their board. And I think the Vikings are a team that in the last two seasons have gone through some tumultuous situations with injuries along the offensive line. I mean, after all, we're talking about an offensive line that before the season even started lost two stalwarts, John Sullivan and Phil Loadholt. So, you know, I think the Vikings are well aware of the fact that you need depth along the offensive line. They have a new offensive line coach in Tony Sperano, and Rick Spielman is a stickler when it comes to taking the best available player. So if the best available player on the board when the Vikings are on a clock is a center in one of those middle rounds, it would not surprise me to see the team take a center. With that being said, you have John Sullivan, who hopefully can come back healthy from his back injury, and if he does, you have a very good center there. You have Joe Berger, who filled in very nicely for John Sullivan last season. And then you also have Brandon Fusco on the roster who played center some at, in college. So you have some options there as well. So I'm not saying the Vikings will consider taking a center. I'm saying they're not ruling it out as a possibility in this draft.
And if you look at some recent third-round picks for the Vikings, they're not necessarily picks that are at positions of need. Mm-hmm. I mean, Danielle Hunter was kind of labeled a project when we picked him. Jerick McKinnon, I mean,
right.
At the time, we had Adrian in front of him.
That's a good point.
You don't need a...
Yep.
Ideally, you don't need a lot of depth behind Adrian.
Right.
Because he can do everything.
And this is a good center draft. I was listening to a couple of analysts talk about Ryan Kelly from Alabama, starting center there. They run a pro-style offense and have won a lot of games.
Michigan's, at where?
Roll Tide.
Never heard of it?
Yeah, no. Right. And then Michigan State has a nice center as well. And then Zach Martin, the really good offensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys, has a brother out of Notre Dame who's got some interior line experience. So I'm not ruling center out. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not ruling it out. We'll see what happens. The Vikings have done a great job of building depth along the offensive line during free agency with re-signings and new signings. And it wouldn't surprise me if they chose to fortify that depth with another talented player in the draft. But we'll see what happens.
Next question is from Neil Scott. He's asking about Cordarrelle Patterson on the offensive side of the ball rather than Cordarrelle, the returner. He says, why not play Cordarrelle or let him go play football for a different team?
Okay. I mean, Cordarrelle is one of the best kickoff returners in the NFL, so we know we have him there, and that's awesome, and that's valuable. In terms of offense, you know, the Vikings became a team that was a very run-heavy team last year, and they had the NFL's leading rusher last year. So they led the NFL in rushing attempts, and they had the fewest passing attempts in the NFL. So there you can see it's a very polarized offense last year. It became that way, and that was because that's how Norv Turner figured he could put the offense in a position to help the team win. Control the ball, use your best player, put the defense in positive situations, and win a bunch of games that way. I think if the offense can improve the pass protection, become a little more prolific in the passing game, I think that will put Cordarrelle Patterson in a better position to succeed himself, and it wouldn't surprise me to see that happen. So I think Cordarrelle is going to have the opportunity during the offseason program, during training camp, and during the preseason to prove to the offensive coaching staff that he's a guy you can put out there on the field and throw the ball to. So I hope that Cordarrelle seizes that opportunity. Following him on social media the way I have this offseason, he seems to be someone who is motivated and is driven to improve offensively, and that's really awesome to see, and I hope that it continues once the offseason program begins in April. So I'm optimistic about Cordarrelle's future with the Vikings.
Staying on the topic of wide receiver, Zach from Minneapolis asks, is there a wide receiver in this draft that might be a true number one right out of the gate that would be available to Minnesota?
Yeah, I think so. I think there are some talented receivers in this class. And the last two wide receiver classes have been really, really good. But that doesn't mean that this year's class, while it doesn't have those splashy names, it can't also be as good. I mean, just look at Stephon Diggs. I mean, yeah, so maybe he's not has not emerged yet as an A.J. Green or Julio Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown type. But, I mean, he was a fifth-round pick, and a lot of fifth-round picks don't even make the roster. So that we're willing to just instantly right now say, yeah, he's going to be on the team next year and he's going to be a key contributor, that he's a fifth-round pick and we're saying that about him tells you that unexpected things can happen. And while there is no surefire, bona fide, legitimate superstar prospect wide receiver in this class, that doesn't mean one won't emerge. Laquon Treadwell is a guy who could do that. A lot of people are really high on Josh Doctson. I mean, I get tweeted and emailed about Josh Doctson all the time from people who have seen him play in college or who have watched his tape or his highlights. I think Will Fuller, your guy, Nate, has some ability out of Notre Dame. I really like Michael Thomas from Ohio State. Tyler Boyd, a guy that most people listening probably don't haven't even heard of. He set all the records at the University of Pittsburgh, a place that, Larry Fitzgerald once played. Well, Tyler Boyd has all the records. So, I mean, I think there are plenty of options at receiver in this class, and it would not surprise me if a quote-unquote number one receiver were to emerge out of this rookie class. Now, whether that guy comes to the Vikings and makes that kind of impact, you know, I just don't know that the offense is going to be set up for that to happen, because you have Adrian Peterson, you have a really good tight end in Kyle Rudolph, you have a solid slot receiver in Jarius Wright, and then you have Stephon Diggs, who you're going to be relying on as well. So there's a lot of places for Teddy to go to the ball, but it would not surprise me if a rookie, if the Vikings took a receiver in this draft and that rookie had the same kind of impact that Stephon Diggs had a year ago. That would not surprise me. I think there's enough talent in this class to find that guy, not necessarily only at 23. It could be with a second or third or mid-round pick, as I said, just like the Vikings found in Stephon Diggs. I think that's it for this edition of the Wobcast. That was a lot, though.
Lots of nerd talk. Lots of rule talk.
Hardcore X's and O's, hardcore Vikings. That's what we like to do here. All right, so here's our vow to you,
Wobcast. Motto of the Wobcast.
What is it?
Hardcore X's and O's, hardcore Vikings.
That's what we do. Here's our vow to you, Vikings fans and Wobcast listeners. We're going to get more guests on the Wobcast from here until the draft to really start drilling down on this draft class, where the strengths are, where the Vikings can look to fortify the roster, because we love the team we have. It's an 11-win team that's re-signed most of its players. It's a young team. And it's a team that's done very well in the draft of late and has a chance to do very well again in this year's draft, because it's chock full of studs on defense, linemen on offense, and I think there might even be a bunch of really good receivers in this class, even though people don't think they're as good as the last couple of years. So it's a really fun and exciting time right now for the Vikings and for the entire league in the build-up to the draft. We're going to get more guests on so that you're not just hearing Nate and I talk all the time. You're hearing some experts talk about it. And we'll begin that next week. So we'll be back next week with another edition of the Wobcast. For now, and on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This episode of the Wobcast is over. Have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you next time. So, yeah!